Let's all stand and sing our praise song number 2036, Give Thanks. Can go ahead and be seated. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church, and welcome also to our radio congregation. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Deb Darling, your worship leader. Our acolytes today are Olivia and Ariana. And our pianist is Melissa Ogden. If everyone would stand, we'll do our call to worship, please. Blessed be the Holy One.
Who looks on us with love and mercy.
Blessed be the Holy One.
Who sent us a Savior to rescue us from despair.
Blessed be the Holy One and God's beloved child. Blessed be the Holy One,
who is worthy of our worship.
Let us pray. God of creation, we cannot see you, but we see what you have created in all of its beauty and all of its bounty. Jesus, child of God, the entire universe lives in you and for you and through you. Holy Spirit of the Holy One, you sweep across creation, enlivening and sustaining. Everything on earth and in heaven has its being and its hope because of you. Triune God, blessed is your holy, life-giving name. Amen.
Our opening hymn is 694, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading today is Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6, the righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Absolutely. Lord, hear our prayers. No.
Jesus, beloved child of God, and in and through you, God brings all creation together for good. We in our world need your peace. Sometimes we're strong and able, standing without fear, but sometimes we're weary and in distress, living in the shadows of disappointment and occasionally even failure. But you are our deliverer. In love and power, you hold the fullness of God. You bring the fullness of our lives and our world. Surround us with your love today and life, and also grant us your presence of peace. Thank you for hearing each and every prayer, especially those unspoken needs this morning. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us, for guiding us. Thank you for allowing us to come together as one in your house. Help us to be strong in the midst of struggles, in the midst of all that life offers and the obstacles even that are placed in our paths. Lord, you give us hope, you give us peace and love and joy, all the things that we'll be celebrating in the coming weeks of Advent. We thank you for each one of our young people that are downstairs right now practicing for the Christmas program and remembering all that the Advent season that will start next Sunday means to us. Thank you for giving us this day with the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for the hope that we find in you. Help us during this week to remember all of the things we have to give thanks for, the many, many ways of being thankful. Just as we've sung about this morning already, come, ye thankful people, come. We praise you, Lord, for the many, many, many unnumbered, because there's so many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We have so much to be grateful and thankful for. So we praise your holy name today and ask that we can honor you through our songs, through our words, through the reading of the scriptures, through our prayers. May it be pleasing as it comes before your throne of grace, as we remember today the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. And now we'll have a beautiful anthem by our choir, Thank You, God. Nice choir, that was beautiful. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, please go down to the 11th verse, which is actually in the middle of a sentence, but the 11th verse through the 20th verse. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many things will happen this week. As always, on a holiday week, we have travelers out there, don't we, that we've been praying for this morning? We have travelers. We have people that will gather around their tables with their intimate immediate family, and some with extended family, and some with neighbors and others that join in as family around the tables. All of those wonderful, wonderful things. And if I were to have had the young people up here this morning, I was prepared to ask them about the things that they are thankful for. We do that quite often. And we know that when we ask our children about those things, they usually start with the primary essential things because they haven't had as much life experience as we all have. So they start with the essentials like maybe their toys, maybe food on the table, their parents, things like that, things that they have seen around them, their friends, things that they enjoy. And sometimes us adults, we just go right to the biggies, don't we? We go right to the big stuff. But I think it's always good to go back to the start, isn't it? To give thanks for the things that we take for granted as we get older, for the roof over our heads, for the food on our table, for people that we can invite into our lives or people that we've crossed paths with. And then, of course, we don't forget those big things because they're huge. The things we think about when we think about how we even got here today. Life-sustaining things, keeping us safe, helping us through the past with surgeries and procedures and all the things that we have to do to maintain ourselves, for the obstacles that have been thrown in our path, for the losses that we've experienced over the year, for the many things that are unexpected, In the scripture last week, I think I shared with the kids that there were 365 places in scripture that it talks about do not fear. Because we talked about fear last week. 365 places, one for each day, because the Lord knew that there would be every day a moment where you might have fear try to enter in. So this week, there are 62 mentions of thanksgiving. So we're going to focus on that this week. 62 mentions of thanksgiving. And I don't mean the holiday Thanksgiving. I mean giving thanks. And Paul is responsible for about three quarters of them. The pattern holds true in Colossians that was shared with you this morning. Paul begins with an outpouring of thanks, saying that in our prayers for you, we always thank God. So maybe that's a good way to start, right? Giving thanks for one another, our church family, as well as our families at home, the other people in our lives. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. All these things we've been talking about, right? Because I think the Sunday before that, we talked about the saints. All of these things. After affirming the good work being done by the Colossians, Paul also says, may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. Now, a very wise person over the years has told many of us not to pray for patience because we know what happens, right? God will test us and test our patience. So we pray not always for patience, but here it says to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. That was our scripture this morning. Easier said than done. There are many situations in life where we don't feel like giving thanks, and we don't think there's one thing about it that we have to give thanks for. So this maybe is our challenge today, to find a way to give thanks in everything while also giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in that great inheritance, in that big banquet table, that family dining table. As the human tradition of holiday shopping sometimes tries to crowd out Thanksgiving, we're able to endure everything with patience because our joy comes from the gifts of God instead of from the amount of things we can accumulate. Notice how the letter to the Colossians doesn't assume that we show gratitude only when everything is perfect. Instead, Paul shows that there will be much hardship to endure at the same time that we are giving thanks. Remember that this morning. Remember that there's a lot of hardship to endure at the same time as we give thanks. I think about a little blurb that I read on social media. A lady was giving thanks. She was giving thanks because she had come out of the store and she was wrestling with her children, trying to get them in the car and buckled in so that she could start her journey home. And when she was about half to three quarters of the way home, discovered that she had left her wallet in the shopping cart at the store. And immediately, where does that fear come from? Okay, immediately. And maybe some of you can relate to this. I know at least one person in here that can. because she does it on a frequent basis. This lady was giving thanks because in her frantic state, she turned around, went back to the store. She met one of the boys that was bringing in carts, and he immediately started looking throughout the parking lot, and he was looking everywhere. And then someone came out from the store, one of the greeters, and that person was looking, and everybody was looking. And within 20 minutes, they had located her purse that had been turned in to the desk at the store. And she was so grateful because not a thing in her wallet had been disturbed. But those are just some of the everyday things that happen in our lives that allow the fear to come in, but also allows us to give thanks. Give thanks, first of all, that she did all that safely, because I know that franticness that comes into you with getting back there to retrieve perhaps your whole life in that wallet. All of your driver's license and all of your things that identify where you live and everything in there. Sometimes that means more than the money, right? All the things that are in there that you store in there. But giving thanks even in those circumstances, because it helps you to know that God is there. That there are good people in the world, despite what you see on the news, despite the scariness, like Deb shared this morning. You know, it's kind of scary. We need to know what's happening in the world. We can't hide ourselves, you know, under a desk somewhere and live that way. We have to know what's happening. And yet when we do, it's like, oh, I wished I didn't have to know that. But I do have to know that. Because what I can do about it, even if it's halfway around the world, is I can pray about that, can't I? I can put that in God's hands, who can reach around the world and make a difference. You know, there's times in the wintertime when I'm thinking, why, oh, why was did my parents insist on living in Michigan? When it's cold and blowing and you're wondering if you can get out, and it's slippery and you don't want to get on the road. And then I have a lady in KPAC who prays for snow, and we have to shut her down sometimes. We just have to shut her down. And she laughs, you know, but it's like, oh, please don't pray for snow. But then we give thanks at other times because we don't get the mudslides that some of the other states have, and we don't have some of the vicious, terrible hurricanes that other states have. And we give thanks for what we do have here in Michigan. And it's not warm weather all through the four seasons, certainly. But there's a lot of other things that we give thanks for. We give thanks even when times are tough and times are hard. And we put one foot in front of the other and we make it to the other side. Even when we're struggling. Holding Thanksgiving and hardship together is a spiritual challenge. We struggle to give thanks after we've lost someone precious in our lives. We try to be grateful when a child is sick. We have a hard time with that. We do our best to count our blessings when we lose our job, when we fail a class, when we suffer an injury or experience crushing disappointment. We give thanks. Jesus says yes. I say it's tough. He knows it's tough. Give thanks in everything. Because even in the midst of the fear of something as trivial as losing a wallet, it doesn't seem trivial, does it? Or even losing a child when they're hiding on you, for a minute and those fears come in, we give thanks when we can retrieve. And when Jesus retrieves us, when we're that lost sheep, when we're the one stuck in the mud, all 4 feet, up to our kneecaps, he's the one who comes running to rescue us, as you saw that picture earlier in the summer. And I brought that picture of Jesus on the run after the sheep who's muddy and all messed up. And on the days that we feel like just a sack of torn something, just a mess, Jesus helps us put those things back together. He puts us back together. We can't do it on our own, but we can count our blessings. There's a song that talks about that too. In fact, we sang it at the other church this morning, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. They start with the things the kids mention, and they go all the way up to, thank you for protecting me from getting in that car accident. Thank you for delaying me, which I wasn't happy about, so that I could be safe on the road to my destination. Thank you for keeping me from that, even though that's where I was insisting I needed to be. Thank you for keeping me from that, because that kept me safe and my family safe. A lot of people find a way to give thanks in the midst of all of what life has dumped on them. I knew a family that went to one of my churches that I think they lost 3 homes to fire. And I'm sure they had to be asking, why me? What are we doing wrong? Because none of them were because of anything that they had caused. Why is this happening to me? Many people in the Bible, I'm sure, and think about Job, why is this happening to me? What did I do? And instead, we're called to give thanks. Give thanks because each and every time we made it out okay. Each and every time we made it out okay. Many times in on-the-street interviews, men and women rarely talk about material gifts when they're questioned about being thankful. That's not what most focus on. Instead, they mention the gifts of God that sustain them through the struggles of life. Children, friends, partners, good health, kindness, jobs, generosity, knowledge, plus the gift of life itself. George Neuerdauer, the archbishop in San Francisco, adds to this list saying, God also gives us gifts of artistry or imagination, creativity, his gifts of dedication, fidelity, perseverance, his gifts of strength and skill. Those are gifts. You can't buy those in the store, whether it's open on Thanksgiving or not. You can't buy them. Paul concludes today's passage by inviting the Colossians to give thanks to God for what he's done for us through Jesus Christ, the one who is the ruling power of the universe. First, we can be grateful for his forgiveness. That's huge. It's easy to say, harder to do, right? Forgiveness. Sometimes around that Thanksgiving table, that is what it's about. Forgiveness. Paul says that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we find redemption and forgiveness of sins. No matter how many times we stumble, Christ is present to pick us up. He's going to pick you up each and every time. No matter how muddied and messed up you are, no matter how deep in the mud, no matter if you feel like a puzzle that has been disassembled and shuffled all around and put in a pile, he will put you back together. Or shall I rephrase that? He will help you put yourself back together. He will help you. We thank the Lord today that Jesus is at the center of creation. He holds everything together. We try, but he's the one who succeeds. He's the image of the invisible God, says Paul, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that's a promise, and that's a certainty, and that's something you can bank on. That he holds all things together, even when you feel like you're a mess. Jesus Christ is the one who's at the center of everything that's precious to us. Those children again, our friends, our health, our kindness, any kindness that's been given to us, generosity, knowledge, artistry, imagination, creativity. In Christ, all things hold together. And finally, we can be grateful for the presence of Jesus in our lives and in the community of faith, because he gives us our church family, doesn't he? Those that are listening in are our church family. Those that are seated here are our church family. Those people that are ill today that are at home are our church family. Our family of believers, a community of faith. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. And that means our lives. First place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through the blood of the cross. I read an article that listed five hymns that they think that we should not sing anymore. This one person anyway. And I thought, well, we sang one last Sunday. We're singing one again this Sunday of that five. What's the chance, right? And one of them, I think, was Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And because they thought it was too gruesome. What in the world? What in the world? The blood of Jesus is why we're here. That sacrifice is why we're here. And it wasn't pretty, no. But again, we need to know about it, don't we? Because that is what sustains us, that blood of Jesus Christ that we celebrate here once a month. We come up the aisle. We actively come forward to the altar of Christ to take the cup and the bread, to recognize that forgiveness through the body and blood of Christ. There are some things that will never be too old to celebrate. Those five hymns were some of my favorites. And I think I normally try to just scroll on past, but I think I put, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever read. And it was. It's ridiculous. Because the day we can't celebrate the blood that Jesus shed on that cross is a very, 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 very sad day. He did it all for us. Whenever two or three are gathered in church or around the Thanksgiving table, Christ is present. He shows us the fullness of a God who loves us so much that he sent his precious Son into the very middle of human life to do the work of making peace. Sometimes I also think that we push Thanksgiving aside . But I believe that not as long as Jesus Christ is alive among us, at the center of creation in the community of faith, will that ever happen. It's our job to respond by giving thanks for the gifts of forgiveness. I don't care if you have all your Christmas decorations up or not. That's your choice. But we're getting ready for Advent, aren't we? Getting ready for Advent. But we will never push Thanksgiving aside. It's too important. We need to give thanks for the gifts of forgiveness, for the gifts of the world, for the gifts of our church that extends throughout the world. Let's remember to do this on the day we designate as Thanksgiving. But not only then, but every day throughout the year. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us how important it is to give thanks, even in the things that we don't consider things that we're real thankful for at the moment. Illness and all kinds of things, loss. But Lord, we know that you're there to pick us up, put us back together, and help us to serve you and honor you with all that we say, all that we do, all that we pray, all that we sing. Help us to always remember, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If we can have our ushers come at this time. Loving God, may our gifts bring your love to all. Jesus Christ, our deliverer, may our gifts show the world that we belong to one another. For each of us is held in your embrace. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who gives the breath of life, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 131, We Gather Together. Now let's sing, Blessed Be the Tie.